Hi everyone, and warmly welcome to our podcast on inclusive labor market with Azat Mitliv and our super special guests that will join us for talks about D&I. And the purpose of this interview series is to get behind the scenes and learn more about DEI out from a CEO perspective. And you will have the chance to meet some amazing CEOs and role models for the largest companies and get their view on D&I and how to walk the talk. But for you who doesn't know much about us or nothing at all, we have been around with Mitliv since I founded it 2008. And our vision is to work for an inclusive society and a labor market that values diversity. And if you want to learn more about us and what we do, you can check out our homepage, mitliv.com. But today, we want to spend the time on a very special person, a true role model, joining us for this conversation, who knows a lot about good leadership. And I want to say a warm welcome to you, Jochen Diem, CEO for SKF Switzerland.
Thank you so much, Sophia. And thank you so much for having me and even having me in a podcast interview.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Wonderful to have you. And I'm just curious. I mean, since we met, you have always been such a positive person with such an open mindset. And I wonder, do you ever have a bad day? And how do you challenge yourself in that?
Okay. Yeah. That's a very good question because, yeah, since some years I have some sort of, let's call it, ritual in the morning. So I have my first coffee sitting there, planning the day, all the appointment, the tasks, the due dates, and what's coming up on that day. And in the end of that, I try to find my special highlight for that day. And this is what I focused on at last. And that helps me to have a positive start in the day.
So what was your highlight of today?
Yeah. You can imagine it is meeting you and being interviewed for the D&I podcast, of course.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That made a big smile on my face.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. But I'm very, very curious, Jochen, about you and the big milestones in your life that brought you all the way to the role of CEO for SKF Switzerland.
Mm. Yeah, I can, in short, I started my business life in the steel arena. I worked firstly for two big companies at that time in the steel area. The first one was Mannesmann. I stayed some years with Mannesmann, and then I changed over to the company Thyssen, who knows Thyssen as well. They were very big and solid, and now there's not much left of them, but I got the chance at Thyssen to run through a two-year international management trainee program. And that was very helpful to see all the different cultures and the different people and mindsets and backgrounds. And that was an early beginning of learning how to deal with different people. Mm. Next step was I went to Freudenberg. Not many people know Freudenberg, but it's a family-run business with around, if I remember the figure right, 50,000 employees, yeah, in 60 countries, and they are market leader for seals. And they did a company buyout and a management buyout. And this ended up in a British PLC, a technical distribution business, quite big, the third or fourth biggest on the planet. And I stayed long in that company, I have to say. And in the last 8 years, my role was the role of managing director, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. And as we were the biggest customer of SKF in these days, I had a very good network and relationship to the management in SKF Germany. So that was a day, and the call came if I would be ready to work for them and go to Switzerland, where I only knew from Switzerland about skiing, and that was it. didn't know anything about industrial business in Switzerland. But I took the chance, and since October 2015, I'm the country manager and CEO for the industrial business here in Switzerland.
Amazing. But what are your other impressions of Switzerland so far, except skiing?
Yeah, it's an amazing country, and I didn't know anything about it. And when I came, I fell in love again. And I have to say my word, I fall in love again. And that was with the city of Zurich, because we are headquartered around Zurich. The region and the people and the spirit and the nature is awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
So, I really love, agree. I love to be here.
Yeah. And also I'm a bit curious, since the topic for today is about DI, and how has DI linked to your choices and path, or have you just like ended up in those kind of environments where it requires open-minded leadership and to embrace all cultures, or how is it linked? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, but I, Sophia, to be honest, I don't think it's really linked to my business life, because I strongly believe that the foundation of your personal values and the kind of human being you are and you will be in the future, this is mostly about your upbringing, your family, your parents. And I have to say, they, in a very early stage, fostered the belief in equality and to always be open-minded. And a big value was respect, to be respectful with others and even with nature. And I remember that both of my parents were very active in engaging, protecting the nature, regionally, locally, and so on. So this was about my upbringing. And then the second thing, which is even more important than my business life, is I'm married with my wife since 35 years, not married, but together since 35 years. And she made a fantastic career in the IT business. And living with her and listening to her and the way how she made her career told me everything, believe me, about roadblocks, hurdles, boys groups.
Yeah.
Believe me, she had to overcome a lot. And that was teaching me how it shouldn't be. Probably here and there.
And how did you bring her journey and her challenges and opportunities into your role? And what has been your most important value in the roles you had?
Yeah, probably I start with the last part of the question. What is my... I know there's a buzzword saying curiosity, but this is not right, to be honest. For me, it's integrity. Because as a leader, I think the most important thing you have to have is a good grade of integrity. Because this teaches you all that is as well important in D&I. You have to respect the equality of all the diverse individuals, nationalities, cultural backgrounds, mindsets around you. And this is even in little decisions like even equal pay. And for me, that was always, I don't know if this is really a value, but it was my best navigation system through my D&I journey.
Oh, super. And I think that is the payment gap is still so huge in the world, and to be able to even embrace and reach the SDGs and gender equality, we need to close the pay gaps. And yeah, so it's a lot to do in that field. But also, I mean, we hear so many buzzwords when it comes to the D&I topic, and we've seen quite much over the years with Mitli behind all good words, but still it's about, I mean, real people, real dreams, real hopes. And I just knew the first time we met that you really care about those topics. And we had a discussion about a case, a very hands-on case that you were facing, but that challenged you as a leader. But Could you tell us more about how do you meet challenges when they occur internally? How could they look like, and who do you need to be as a leader when those kind of things occur?
So first of all, thank you very much, Sophia. And this is a great question, of course. And I know the case that you are talking about. And this happened, I have to say, completely out of the blue and unexpected, because it happened in my direct surrounding. It happened to me with one of my absolute top managers that I thought, how conservative must his attitude be, as we weren't able to align on D&I. And then I tried to explain the why, because you know everything starts with the why. Everyone knows that, and I tried to do well, but I didn't succeed, and this went down the road that in the end, not coming together, we ended up at the SKF code of conduct. And the SKF code of conduct is something really beautiful, because it protects each and everyone in the company and outside. And this is our Bible, I have to say. And this was the last bottom we found, where I said, look, there's a code of conduct. Read it over the weekend. If you can promise me to live according the code of conduct, it is fine for me. If not, then we have to have a serious issue, because we are not allowing people in our company, SKF, that don't declare themselves to commit to the code of conduct.
Interesting.
And he understood. So he came and said, I read the code of conduct, and I have to say, I may agree with it.
But then you succeeded.
Yeah, I succeeded, but it was close. And he knew exactly what the consequences would have been, and still are, because, you know, he is a little bit under observation.
Yeah, okay. And it's interesting, because, I mean, we talk a lot about the common values for a company, how important they are, and how important it is to communicate it. But it's when we have a real case, they are really challenged, right? And I wonder, I mean, we have those large corporations with the very ambitious goals globally, and it's high discussions on vision and values. But this takes us to that, what has really happened? What has to happen in between the big vision and the reality you face in your everyday work in a company? What are the tools? I mean, this is one tool. Do you have any more tools that has been useful for you? And what kind of support does your SKF in Switzerland need to have from your global, like, mother wheel, so to say?
The mothership.
The mothership. Yeah.
Well, yes, they have a company in Scandinavia, and those companies are often pretty modern, and they have ambitious goals around people care. And from my point of view here down in Switzerland, I can see that they are doing quite well. And this is their spirit in Sweden, because we are headquartered in Göteborg. And I think they will reach these ambitious goals. But there are another 129 countries, and they are a little bit far away from Scandinavia. So they really need support. And the support is, you know, you have to address to the management in all the countries that it is a clear expectation of group management that you live and work and create an environment that is D&I friendly, which is sometimes not easy. But, you know, if you want to bring that down to 129, 130 countries, this is a relentless approach. You have to use each central town hall, all the management senior calls. You have to have a lot of internal communication around D&I events and so on until the last one in the country understood this is a clear expectation. And we have to create in our area of responsibility a D&I friendly situation. But there's even a challenge in SKF, which is they are still want us to report in headcount.
So
I can't simply say this is a one-man show and I offer it to two people at halftime because I end up with two headcounts then.
Mm.
It's one FTE, but it's two headcounts.
Mm.
These are challenges we still struggle in SKF with a little bit.
Do you see any challenges, Sweden, Switzerland, when on the topic who has what approach and how do you adapt to the Swiss aspect of this? Since my learning so far about Switzerland, that is that we have come quite different far when it comes to different aspects of D&I. But what is your view of it? What do we have to work on extra in Switzerland with?
Yeah, there are certain things that are a little bit different. I just came back from traveling to Bulgaria and to Prague, and I was in Sopot. And in Bulgaria, you may say it's the other way around because the top team is female, 80% share, and the workforce is at around 70%. And this is a little bit different in Switzerland because how do I say that Switzerland is a little bit more conservative? May I use the case that out of political landscape reasons, women are allowed to elect and to vote since April 1990 in the canton Appenzell, if I remember right. So we have some things around the country political landscape and as well about the company structure in Switzerland. It's a little bit different to other countries because you have the very big players, to name Danner or Google, because both of them are headed by female. Women lead these companies. But these account, let's say, to 1% or 2% in number of the industrial companies in Switzerland. And the rest is KMU, and KMU means small and medium-sized businesses. They don't have a platform for international talent scouting. They can't offer job rotation or shadowing programs. So in the structure of the company is sometimes as well a hurdle in itself. So it's a little bit harder here than elsewhere, I guess.
Yeah. And what do you think needs to be done in that matter to progress?
Yeah, of course, we have to relentlessly approach to have a modernized political system. We have to, because we are not where we have to be. And we as companies, of course, have to be role models. We have to use the power we have to show that it goes in a different way and have to play our role. And and that means that the companies at best try to be as D&I friendly as possible, create a D&I friendly culture and a place where people may speak up in freedom and bring their creativity. And this is, I think, the job that I really have running a country in Switzerland.
And I've just had a seminar here on how to build inclusive cities out from the communities, the organizations, and the individual. But I'm curious about out from an organizational aspect that it sounds so great. We know it comes with a lot of challenges, but do you have any typical pitfalls for your industry or for a company like SKF regarding those topics?
Yeah, of course, in all the companies, pitfalls, the minor ones and the major ones. And one of SKF might be that If you like in my role, I have to have a longer plan for D&I. And SKF has a high speed of change. SKF is evolving very quickly. And if you have a medium or long-term plan for D&I, you have to be very careful because sometimes with all the changes around yourself, sometimes important milestones or decisions are at unexpected risk. So keeping that, even if everything around you is evolving very quickly, is not that easy. That is a pitfall you should avoid, to tap in.
And do you have any specific tools to keep an eye on what's happening in the world around you to make sure that SKF Switzerland stays on the right track, embracing the future? And
Well, what we did, we engaged with Midlif, do you know them, and with Sophia, and I really hope that we have very soon our first consultancy session with the top team, because they are all keen to get you to know personally. But we are, what we do is we do SOMs, strategic offsite meetings. That means for 2 days in August, generally, we get out of the business. Everyone prepares himself about what are the developments regionally, globally, locally, as well to be prepared for the business planning, which starts in October, November. And then we try to have a clear setup. What have we do to grow the business profitably? Yeah. How can we enhance our compensation and benefits for our people? Are we still D&I friendly with our setup? Do we have to change something? And so on. This is 2 days, no business, being outside, no phone calls, no emails, just discussing, are we still ahead of things or what do we have to change?
Which takes me, which is a perfect bridge to my next wonder about behaviors. Because facing and embracing the future and being in a very quickly transformative company also means that we need to change some behaviors to get new results. And what behaviors do you think are crucial to have to basically be an inclusive leader that we all need to practice in our everyday life and at our working places?
This is as well a very intense situation, your behavior. And you are triggered so much by the speed of the world is turning and the challenges that are coming up to you. So I guess a very nice word probably is be resilient. Be very resilient that you can walk the talk, push things forward steadily, act as a role model. You have to be brave to do that. And you have to have a great level of resilience, because not always everything is running out for the best. And therefore, you have to be stable in your own values and in what you want to achieve. And it's always good to have a common target with a team and the actions that lead to that target. And that's, I think these are the most important behaviors.
And from a personal view, do you have any of your own blind spots, you think? And how do you make sure to become aware of those? Do you have any tips or ideas for others to become aware of their blind spots?
Sophia, I have more blind spots than I like to have. But in terms of your question and our theme of today, it is possibly that I'm often too quick. Especially when it comes to decision making, because even if you create a safe environment for those people that contribute very creatively, and you do a brainstorming or a discussion, the very good ideas are not the first ones. It takes a little time for the full diversity power to come up. And sometimes I have to hold back my horses with decisions. so that I make sure that the people that have a lot to contribute even have their chance to come out.
Yeah.
And I try to be aware of this.
Yeah. I think I can sign under on that. And then it's very good to have a CEO in Mittlead who makes sure that we pick the right ideas and bring the team along, and you know, but yeah. But also when you like to run things and create things and push things forward, it's easy to be a bit too quick sometimes, I think. But I'm just curious, we talk about a lot about mega trends, and I just came from a seminar, STARS, in Switzerland, where they faced the biggest trends, and they talked about digitalization, urbanization, and sustainability. And those will impact us either we want or not in the future. So it's easy for us to link the DE&I as a crucial key to embrace those huge trends around us. But what do you think will happen with the companies who does not work on DE&I in the future?
Well, you know, I'm not really a hardliner on this, but and I don't believe that the companies not embracing DE&I will completely disappear from the business landscape. But I have a fundamental belief, and this is the motor of my inner energy to drive DE&I, that DE&I offers so much and gives you so much stronger power in winning in the competition globally, regionally, locally, in everything you do. The more creativity you have in your team, the better the solutions are. And therefore, I really believe that you are in the winning team if you are very diverse. And who doesn't want to win? I want to win.
Yeah.
So that's my motor to support this issue. Yeah.
And a little extra question that I was thinking about now, when you say we want to win. So in 10 years, if you would visualize the winner, what have we done right?
Yeah, when I was in Bulgaria, it came to my mind, wow, here everything is ideal. Yeah, you have even the wrong side. You have a discrimination of men. And, you know, there will be a time, Sophia, when our job is made, when we have freedom in D&I and inclusion, and everything will be normal. No one will understand that there had been any programs around that. But, you know, we can't wait.
No.
I don't know when this will be the case. It could be in, I don't know, 20 years from now. So we better do the right things to shorten that time.
Yeah. One Earth. It's all about people and your... I mean, we need leaders like you, Jochen, who also push those topics in the right direction. I very much hope to inspire more to do more when they listen to you today. And therefore, I wonder if you would choose one most important action to pass on to other organizations. And specifically, since I know there are a lot of other CEOs listening to this to find tools and our argumentations to push this topic in the right direction, what would you say that would be? What is the first most important action for CEOs that wants to start this journey, would you say?
Of course, it's not me giving any recommendations or so, but I can tell how I did it. And probably this is a model people may choose or not, or improve even. And I think the biggest step is to look around yourself. How does your board look like? Do you have the diversity in your board members that you want to have or need to have to unleash the undeniable power from DNA? And then it was pretty clear, no, I hadn't. And then I had to make choices and to change that, and I changed it. And I can only say that it is important to not to be alone You know, you have to gather people around you that help you to pull and push on that journey. Because if you are alone, you have to be very resilient. And the first assessment is very useful, I guess. And this is what I did. Do we have equal pay? How many nationalities do we have in our company? Where, in which departments do we have the right setup in terms of gender equality and so on? And I think this is where it starts. And then it's about mutual setting up targets and activities. And let's go. And as you are asking, Sophia, of course, engage with Midlif and Sophia. Then you get it right.
Yeah, no, but thank you so much. And I think we can talk about the big visions, but in the end, it's like walking the talk. What do we basically do in our everyday life as leaders, as organizations? And you are a true role model, Jochen. So I just want to say to you that keep up the fire, and we're very much looking forward to our cooperation over the coming year with SKF Midlif in Switzerland. And also for all of you who are curious and want to find more inspiration on how D&I takes place and matters in the top management, you can find more interviews in the podcast with cool, amazing leaders like Jochen, who stand up for and lead diversity and inclusion in the right direction. And Jochen, thank you so, so much for this conversation. You inspire more to do more. So, yeah, let's keep
Thank you so much for having together. Me, Sophia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And have a great rest of the day.
Yeah, thank you. And you too, Jochen.
Thank you.